listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
But I want us to learn to be people of gratitude. Say gratitude. There are 3 points of this thing I'm going to give today. You know how preachers are going to try to get 3 points out. And here's I'll give you the points up front so you kind of get it. We're going to read out of Luke chapter 12 and hit that story. Then we're going to run over to the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. And we're going to share a little bit of that ministry over there. But here are 3 things. Stuff is just stuff. Let's all say it again. Say stuff is just stuff. Say it again. Say stuff is just stuff. Look at me. If you ain't got any, it's just stuff. If you've got more than everybody in the church, it's just stuff. Stuff does not define who you are. God has never looked at your stuff and thought you were better than somebody else. Oh, I'm helping y'all just a little bit right here. I'm going to help you on this thought. Your stuff and what you have is from God. And if He gets the credit for it, then it doesn't matter how much I have. It doesn't relate to my blessing. And we have just torn up Scripture in a bad way when we look at someone that's in the ministry or someone that's at our job and they have a bunch of money and everything's falling in their direction, and we look and say, boy, they're blessed because they got a thick wallet. They're blessed. Look at all the cars they have. Let me tell you something. Don't ever look at somebody's stuff and say they're blessed because of the stuff. They're blessed whether they have stuff or not. It's not about stuff. God doesn't care that you have stuff. He only cares that stuff has you. And when stuff has you, then He cares about that in a bad way. It bothers God when your stuff defines you. There was a man in Dallas, Texas, true story, a few years ago. He had retail business, had about 3 or 4 retail businesses in the Dallas area, Dallas-Fort Worth area, and he picked a Saturday to have a big sale, like Black Friday, but it's a Saturday, and he had a big sale on in all of his stores, ran all these specials. He did it over a weekend, and when he did, he made money hand over fist. He just really went off the chain. They sold so much stuff. So he's going to give God the praise for it, right? So he's going home after they had been to the office and saw the compilation of all the money from the stores and how much they made, and he was driving home. He said, God, you are so awesome. Look at all the money you blessed me with. You are awesome. God said, excuse me. If you don't make another dime, I'm awesome. Oh, this guy loved Jesus. But see, some of y'all think if he doesn't make another dime, he's not under the covenant of blessing. Listen, God is awesome, and you're blessed whether you have money or not. And if I could just break that attitude, because attitude is our problem, and we get a Christian attitude that if they've got stuff, then they're blessed. I'm going to help you right now. Stuff doesn't define you. So number one, stuff is just stuff. The second point I wanted to get to you is stuff is a test. Stuff is a test. The reason you got what you got is a test. There was another guy, and this is John Maxwell tells this story. He's in leadership now, but he pastored Skyline Church out in California. And while he was pastoring that church, one of the guys came to him and said, Pastor, I need you to pray for me. He said, what about? He said, well, I need you to pray for me because when I was making $500 a week, I was paying $50 a week and my tithe, and I felt very comfortable. He said, man, my business is just blowing it out. He said, I'm making $5,000 a week, and now that I'm making $5,000 a week, it's very hard to pay tithe. I need you to pray for me. So I'm going to help some of y'all. If you can't pay tithe on a dollar, you won't pay it on 10,000. If you can't make tithe out of a 50-cent piece and give God a tenth of that, you're not going to pay it when you say, God, if you just let me win the lottery, I'm going to make $1 million and I'll tithe. You won't. You don't do it now and you won't do it then because it's a heart issue. So this old boy said, Pastor John, I need you to pray for me because I'm struggling paying tithe at $500. I can do it at $5,000. I just can't. It's just hard. How many of you know it'd be hard to, you know, get rid of that money? So for him, it was a hard thing on that $5,000. So John said, sure, I'll pray for you. He laid hands on him. True story, laid hands on him. He said, Father, I pray right now that you break him back to $500 a week so he can obey you. Just saying. So I'm going to help some of y'all. Don't be telling me what you have and don't have and what you can and can't give to God. It is a position of your heart. Amen. So anyway, I want you to look at this. If you don't mind, let's just take a few minutes and deal with these issues on the idea of gratitude, because stuff is a test. Stuff is just stuff. Stuff is a test. And then gratitude should be our response. And then there's something that hijacks gratitude, and I tell you what it is. I'm going to be, help me on this one. Maybe Zach, of course, he's degreed, so he could help me on this one probably again. He's going to help me with my wordsmith over there. Here's my other one. What is the opposite of gratitude? Sorry. What's the opposite of gratitude? Been ungrateful? Look at me. Let me ask you a question. Or tell you something maybe. What if I told you that the opposite of gratitude isn't ingratitude? What if I told you it was greed? What if the opposite of gratitude is greed? If y'all stick with me, we'll just talk about that in a minute, because Thanksgiving's coming up, and some of y'all are going to have a big Thanksgiving, and you can have a lot of people there, and people you like and don't like, they're still going to come, and you're just... Y'all know, don't raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. Ellen, I'm not going to say it's you. One of these boys, I'm just saying. They get talking about having people come for Christmas, and man, there's some people sweat bullets over that. I mean, it gets volatile. So-and-so's coming. You know, my sister is such, you know, her kids aren't well-behaved, and they come over, and I'm wanting to kill all of them. And so, you know, and they're going to be here for all day tearing my house up. I'm just saying, you know, we have those things. It's a stressful time. And then what to buy people and gifts. I'm just going to say right now, we're going to get the right heart, and we're going to get a heart of gratitude, and I'm down to 12 minutes. Okay, look in your Bible very quickly, and let's deal with this idea of being grateful, of being grateful. And let's get at least the basis for it. Luke 12:13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied. Now, I want you to get your Bible marker out if you do that. And if you don't, you can get a pen on the side. And then if you're electronic, I don't know how in the world y'all do that. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to him, or said to them, talking to both of them, and everybody around him, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions." I would love for you to underline that. Life does not consist of abundance of possessions. Who has another translation? Say it again. Life is not defined by what you have, even if you have a lot. You know, we got another translation. Life is not measured by how much you own. Now, I'm going to just tell you guys this. That is something that's contrary to most 2012 Christians, because it's been put in our minds that if you got stuff, that's what defines you. But the Bible says life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Track me on this one. Let's move on up to verse number 16, if we would. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, there's a schizophrenic already. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Verse 18, then he said, "This is what I will do." Now, he's not talking about anybody but I so far. "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there will be store and surplus grain. I have a place to store my surplus grain." Let me just throw you a thought right here. God is not against barns, and he's not against stuff. He's not against you having a bunch. He's not against you having so much that you have to go to another bank with your money. I'm just saying God is not against that. We read this story, and there have been people preach against barns because it said, you know, don't build new barns. It was just stupid. But here's what I'm going to tell you. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:9-10, it says, if you will tithe, if you'll give unto God, if you'll be generous in the kingdom of God, here's what God says, "I will fill your barns and they will be to the full, and I will overflow your vats." So I'm helping you right now. Here's what God says, I want you to have stuff. I'm not against stuff. The problem with this man was not building new barns. It wasn't about storing. The Bible also speaks very positively about you leaving an inheritance for your kids and your grandkids. It talks positively about you saving money for hard times. Even Joseph, one of our men in the Bible, one of the great saviors, if you would, of Israel during the time of captivity, that he had gone to Egypt. While he was in Egypt, you remember what they did during the seven strong years? What'd they do? They stored up food. They stored it up for the lean years. So I'm going to say this. God's not against savings. He's not against building bigger barns. But let's finish the story because he speaks a parable. And in this parable, here's what he says. He says, you're going to build bigger ones. Verse 19, and I'll say to myself, he is talking to himself a lot. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many of years. Take life easy, drink, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Now watch this. Then who will get what you prepared for yourself? In other words, he was a very selfish individual. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things or stuff for themselves. It's not that. Listen to the rest of the sentence. But is not rich toward God. So here's what Jesus is saying. It's okay to have stuff. It's just bad when stuff has you and it's all about you and you can't give. When it gets to be about you, these bags are about us taking our stuff and giving it to somebody else. And I know everybody here would appreciate a big bag of groceries, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to break the spirit of pride and poverty. Now, greed is an attitude and a posture of the heart. But listen closely to me. Greed is also fueled by two demonic forces. How many know that pride is a demonic force? I mean, it's a demonic force. And the other one is poverty. And I'm going to tell you this. There are a lot of poor folk got a lot of pride. And there are a lot of rich folk got a lot of poverty. There are two demonic forces, and they both work to make us be people of greed. Now, how they work on this is this. Have you ever talked to someone that has a nice brand new car, or they have a nice big house? You know, you're like living I've done this before, in an 8x40 trailer. I've done that, and part of the 40 was included in the tongue. I'm just saying, when you look at that box, you think you bought an 8x40, yeah, well, less 3 feet of tongue, so you don't really get 40, you get 37. We've been there, we've lived there. I've done that, and many of you all have done that. Some of y'all are doing it right now. Just there's some issues when it comes to this idea of what we have to give. But the idea is this, rich people, their people got a lot of money. Someone will come up to them and say, boy, that's a nice new car. Now, your response always ought to be, thank you. Thank you is a generous response. Let me tell you what is a poverty response. Oh, well, you know, it's not as good as you think. It was on a special sale, and I got it for $10,000 less than it was worth, and it doesn't really have a clock in it, you know. And we start trying to explain why it's not. Instead of just saying, thank you, I got a nice ride, thank you, instead of trying to poor mouth your way out of it, here's a rich person that's bound with the spirit of poverty, and that's greed. That you made the deal, and it's all about you. It's not about us. It's about him. And we've got to break that spirit of greed. And then there's this, the rich attitude is, if you go up to a guy and he's got stuff, and he'll get a new car, and you say, man, that's a brand new car. I love that. It's a great ride. And how much that set you back? And you say, well, I don't know, more or less, $30,000. Well, it was only like 25, but you went ahead and said about 30. And then the other thing we do if we're rich like that, we'll say, well, I really got this, and it's a cheaper model. I could have bought three of these. I'm just saying, there are people like that, that's what they're looking at. They're looking to tell you what they could have, and then poverty is always wanting to justify the purchase. Look at me, let me tell you something. Quit justifying what God's blessed you with. You don't have to justify that with me or anybody else. You don't have to tell people, well, you know, the only reason we're doing this is because. You don't have to say that. What you've got to do is learn to say thank you. Say thank you. I wish some of us would let thank you be the first response out of our mouth when someone asks about what our standing is. It's just say thank you, and it breaks the spirit. And there are people that are in poverty that have a pride issue. Oh, dear God. Listen, if you're depending on other people for your sustenance or the church, you will be disappointed. Let me show you the spirit of pride. As a pastor, and people have wanted help. There are times when we said, yes, we see this is valid. We want to help you on that, and we want to do something for them. And we give them something, and when we bring it to their house, and they open the door, and they look at it, they'll say, oh, well, I don't drink Diet Coke. Y'all see what I'm saying? Or you bring them over to the house, and they look at it and say, I don't use Tide detergent. I'm just saying. Look at me, let me tell you, if you ain't got nothing and someone brings you something, say, thank you. That's the generous response when you're in poverty, is to get out of poverty, is to learn to be thankful. I'm thanking God. It ain't about you, it's about God. These guys won't get it over there, but if you give me something, it's not just about you, it's about God, because I don't want to get my eyes on you, because if I do, it'll turn to greed. Oh, I've had people mad at the church. If y'all were really Christians up in there, you'd be helping me. Let me tell you something, bro. I ain't got to help you because you say so. I've been told more than once, if you were a real Christian. I'm thinking, dude, if you was a real Christian, you'd quit lying and feeling bad and being bound up in greed and hatred and pride. I'm just saying, I do not have to justify. But there are people, and we've done this. My wife and I have given to people, and we'll still give to people, but we've given to them and then reject it because it wasn't their style. What's the response if you're in a poor, lean situation and someone gives something to you, even if you don't like it? Thank you. Amen. So we need to break that. This is the whole thing about his stuff was this. He's not rich toward God. So one of the things I'm finding out is stuff is just stuff. Say stuff is just stuff. Yeah, God is not upset about it either way. He wants you to have it. I'm not going to be able to get to all of this before we get out of here, but let me give you a couple more thoughts on this. Say God is awesome. Look at somebody next to you and say God is awesome. Yeah, here's the thing I want you to say. If you don't make any more money this month, God is. Sometimes we talk to God about what we don't have, don't we? And we forget that when we had it, he was awesome. And now that we don't have it, he better get off the stool and get over and help me out, God. I'm in trouble. Instead of saying, God, you're an awesome God. You are an awesome God. I love you. I'm having some hard time right up in here, but you are an awesome God. It doesn't change who you are. I'm going to adjust my attitude this morning that I'm going to be grateful regardless of what's around me. He doesn't mind me having a lot as long as I don't move him into second place. The other thing is stuff is a test. Stuff is a test. You've been blessed with stuff as a test of what you're going to do with it. Amen? The Bible says that after we give of the first fruits of it, that's what God says, then it is going to be blessed. I want us to run real quick on this stuff is just stuff, and I'm going to try to rush the best I can. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21, you can mark it if you want to. Those are the Ten Commandments. How do you remember the Ten Commandments? Yeah. If you read the Word of God, you'll find the Ten Commandments, and one of the Ten Commandments that you will read is the tenth Ten Commandment. Now, 10 means test, right? 10 means test. And this is in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 21. 10 means test, and there are 10 commandments. That was a test. And then the 10th of the 10. Let's look at the 10th of a 10. Stuff is just stuff, and stuff is a test. Here's what it is. Listen to this. Verse 21. You shall not covet. There are two words for covet, and you're not going to like either one of them. Epithet is the first part, E-P-I-T-H-Y, in the Greek, epithet. And it translates the same thought in Hebrew. Epithet meo means to covet. Epithet mia means to lust. Lust and coveting come off the same springboard. They come out of the same pool. They operate in the same realm. So when you covet something that someone else has, that coveting is the same way as lust. So you can't be going around and say, I don't have any lust. No, lust doesn't bother me. If you covet in my stuff, then that's lust. Listen what the Bible says in verse number 21. You shall not covet. This is where stuff becomes a problem. It's a test. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire, listen to this wording, set your desire on your neighbor's house or his land or his servants or his ox or his donkey. And the my translation says, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Let me help you right now. Quit looking at other people's stuff wishing you had it. Be grateful that you got what you got. Oh, I can look at someone's car and say, well, that'd be fun to have. I would enjoy having that. But I'm not going to sit up late at night and talk to God about why I don't have that and you do. Amen? Because stuff is a test. Say, stuff is a test. Let me give you one thing. The opposite, or real quick here, the opposite of gratitude is greed. Gratitude is where we're thankful that we have something, but greed is its opposite. Nobody likes that because it makes us sound like we're bad people. But let me help you on this. Greed looks to people to meet its needs. Greed looks to people to meet its needs. I'm going to help you all right here. I understand we need one another. I understand that God may bless me through you. Sherry got blessed through people, got blessed through a foundation. Well, then, if she got blessed through a foundation, then she's dependent on foundation. No, she was depending on God, and God supplied through the foundation. She depended on God, and God supplied through these families that said, we're going to get and be a part of that. She didn't go to them and ask them. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not so sure what they'd have said if she'd have gone to them and said, I'm going to get my eyes operated on. I just wonder if y'all, bust loose about $4,000. I'm just saying, if she'd have done that, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure what they'd have said. They might have said, well, that's kind of brazen of her. She's going to come and ask me that kind of money. But isn't it better when we've gone to God, and then when they say something about it, we receive it from them, and that gratitude is what gets us gain. Greed looks to people to meet its needs. I don't know what I'm going to say. Here's all I'm going to say. The church is here to help people, and we're going to keep doing that. But if you depend on the church, if that is what you depend on, and I don't know if y'all know it or not, but there is a long list of people that all they do is go from one church to the other in this community to get stuff. They go from church to church to get stuff. And here's all I'm telling you. You can't do that. If you depend on people, you'll be disappointed. There are other people that get mad when you can't give. How many of you have had someone get mad at you when you couldn't help them out? Oh, my goodness. They wanted money or they wanted something, and I didn't feel like I could do it, first of all, or maybe I just felt checked in my spirit to help them out, and them get mad. I'm going to help you right now. That's greed, and it comes from depending on someone else. Say, I'm going to depend on God. Gratitude always looks to God to meet its needs. Let me give you one more thing. Gratitude is also passing the test. And we'll just close on that. Gratitude is passing the test. The test is what you're going to do with what you got. Let's close in the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and then I'm just going to hush, and we're going to pray, and we're going to go be gracious people. Deuteronomy 8. Just hang with me just a minute. Can I read some of this before we go? All right. I'm just 4 minutes over. I'm good. All right, let's start in verse number 1. You kind of debate in your mind, should we read all of this? Should we read all of this? Do you ever get a check in your spirit when you're in church? And y'all don't, maybe because I preach, but whenever I'm going to read a long passage, you almost get a check like, oh, do we want to read this whole thing? And I'm thinking, God's word in his house, maybe so. Just saying. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's move through this. Be careful to follow every command that I'm giving you today, that you may increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord has promised on an oath to your ancestors. I want you to underline live, because there's a place that you're going to live, you're going to increase, and I'm going to tell you something else. God has promised to sustain you and give you a place. Land is a part of the promise. So there are some things that God's promised for you, and the Lord promised an oath to your ancestors. And then the next verse says, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years. I'm going to give you 3 lessons that God was dealing with in the wilderness. Now, you do know that everybody's going to have a wilderness. Yeah, the length of time you stay there depends on you, but having a wilderness, you're going to have one. Oh, look at me, let me say it again. I don't care what you got in your bank account. I don't care how your health is. Everybody's going to have a wilderness. I don't care how many friends you got. Everybody's going to have a wilderness. Everybody's going to go through a wilderness because God wants to get something out of that for you. Listen to what it says. And I don't want to stay long, so I'm going to try to humble myself. Here are the lessons. Here's the first 2 in this sentence. It says this. These 40 years to humble. You might want to underline that. To humble and test you. In order. So it was for humility and it was for a test. My hard times, my problem, me getting an idea that I got to get a cataract surgery. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, it was to humble us and to test us, Sherry. in order to know what was in your heart. Are y'all still tracking me? Whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you. Now, I know you don't want to hear this one. And he caused you to hunger. How many's got another translation instead of cause to hunger? Let you hunger. Is there another one? Say what? Allowed you to hunger. Can I say something to you? God will let you hunger. No, he can't let me hunger because then I wouldn't be blessed. Blessing is stuff. You can't judge God by stuff. Yeah, but if I don't have groceries, then I'm not blessed. Look at me, let me say something. You're blessed because you're a child of God. You're not blessed because you got a bank account. I want you to have a bank account. I want you to do well. But I'm just saying, I can't look at that and talk about God's good because I have all this. I've got to look at God and say, God, you're good whether I have this or not, but I'm thankful I got it. I'm just saying, we got to put him first. And here's where you move on this. Let's just look at a few more verses here. It's to humble you, and he caused them, mine says, causing you to hunger, allowed you to hunger, and then feeding you, he caused it, and then he supplied, and feeding you with manna, which neither you or your ancestors had known, to teach you that man, listen, you heard this before, Jesus said this, didn't he? It was to teach you that man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Listen to this, your clothes didn't wear out. There's some of you women, you would not, you had rather be in greed than to have clothes for 40 years. Huh? Can you imagine, ladies, wearing the same stuff for 40 years? First of all, just standing that size is a treat. But I'm just saying, it'd be hard for any of them. Just saying, it'd be hard for any of us. Just saying. I am trying to. I'm in trouble now. I'm just saying, 40 years, and their clothes grew, their clothes were with them, didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out, and the feet didn't swell. Here's all I'm saying. There's some of y'all that'd rather do something else rather than have that kind of supply. You'd rather have a new dress than used clothes, but here's what it says. Your clothes didn't wear out, your feet didn't swell during the 40 years. And then he says this, know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you, brings to correction. And then verse 6 says, observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to them. Then verses 7 through 10 are really about the land they're going into. Jump down to verse 11. Be careful that you do not forget that the Lord your God, failing to observe his commandments, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and flocks grow large, your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God. It's like we remember him when we're in trouble, but we forget him when we got everything going our way. He led you through the vast wilderness and thirsty, waterless land with his with venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the flinty rock, the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness. Now, listen, we're going to get to where these three lessons are going to be learned, these three reasons that they were in the wilderness. To humble and test you. We've already gotten those. So that, listen to this, here's the other reason you have a wilderness. To humble you, to test you, so that in the end, it might go well with you. What do you have in your Bible? In the end what? To do good for you in the end. And I'm just helping y'all right now. I'm going to go through this wilderness. It's going to humble me. How many of you know you get humble when you ain't got anything? Well, you should be humble. So I'm going to be humble during this time. And it's going to be a test. And that is, am I going to serve God or not? Am I going to keep my faith in him? Or am I going to give up because I'm having a problem? So the test is stuff. If I have stuff, I've got to give first. If I don't have stuff, I've got to still believe he's awesome. So I'm humbled and I'm tested. And the other reason is so I might do well in the end, that he can bless me. So I'm just going to help you right now. I believe there is a setup for a blessing. I believe God does allow some issues in your life. And I'm just going to say this. I don't believe that God gave cataracts. I get that. God is not out to make you blind. He wants you to see. But I will tell you this, finding cataracts becomes a wilderness, and finding cataracts becomes a test of someone's heart, and it becomes a place of humility to say, my goodness, I'm just broke here, and I can't do anything, Lord. So there's that area of humility, and then there's a test. God, I trust you, and you're going to somehow get me through this, but then to make it good for you in the end. She had all those bad reports, but gets up here on a Sunday morning and says, and this is what God did. And this is what God did. So here's what your test was: to humble you, to test you, to see if you're going to worship God and praise God and be grateful, have an attitude of gratitude. And he's doing those things so he can bless you in the end. So God is not throwing you away. He's trying to bless you at the end of this thing. And if you just go on down, he says, my power and the strength of my hands. We would say, if we don't get this, that you might have said, if you hadn't gone through this wilderness, you might say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced wealth for me. But remember, you want to underline that, but remember, the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability, Peyton. No, it was his daddy, because his daddy got out there and made him hit that ball and made him catch and run around, and his brother picked on him. And I'm just saying, ability was given by God. Someone help you on this, Peyton. You go to school and you give God the credit. You just give him the credit. And here's what I believe. I believe God will bless you. But your heart's going to be, God, you're the one that got me here. I mean, I know you gave me the skill and my ability, so I get the scholarship. I understand that. But you're the one that did it. Because the Bible says God gave Peyton the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors even to this day. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You've got to make up your mind that stuff is just stuff. Say stuff is just stuff. Say stuff is a test. I want you to stand, if you would, this morning. I know this is a little bit different, but I wanted to at least get you to thinking away. Because some people aren't going to have a real big Thanksgiving. I wish everybody did. We're trying to help. But I want to break a couple things, if we could. I want to break the spirit of poverty that makes you feel guilty for being blessed. I want to break that. I want to break it. How many of you know that poverty wants you to apologize for what you have? How many's ever done that? That you're around someone didn't have a whole lot, and when they were talking to you, you start trying to apologize for what you had, and start explaining why you got what you got. The only reason I'm in this house, I'm telling you, the only reason I'm in this house is a foreclosure. If they hadn't foreclosed on that house, I wouldn't have this house. Instead of saying thank you. Thank you. We're going to break the spirit of poverty. I want to break it off the people that have stuff, that you don't have to defend yourself and you don't have to give a report to people about why you got what you got. Amen. You've got what you've got because you've got an awesome God. But he's the same awesome God that's awesome when you don't have anything. And there's some folk in here that are struggling financially and got issues in your life. And here's all I want to tell you. It doesn't change God. He's still awesome. He is still awesome. Amen. Y'all kind of tracking me on that? And I'm not going to be full of pride to allow God to use people to bless me. And I'm not going to be full of greed to feel like that people are my source. I believe that people will help you, and I'm good for that. I don't have a problem if you've got an issue and there's a friend of yours and you want them to pray with you and talk with you, or you won't even ask them for help. I get that, but don't you hear me real close? If your life consists of always going to people for something or always going to church for something, that becomes greed. It really becomes greed. And if they say no, that's when greed will be seen. Because our attitude when they say no is not one of gratitude, because we're dependent on them. Bow your heads for just a moment. We're going to take an offering up in just a minute. Father, we love and thank you for Thanksgiving. And Lord, the truth is, I've had pride operating. It happens, and I don't want it to. But the truth is, Father, there are people, if they drive up by traffic signals with us, depending on what kind of vehicle they're in, we judge them. That they're the with or the withouts. We're asking, Lord, to help us to quit judging people based on stuff. That blessing doesn't equal stuff. I pray that we would break the spirit of poverty that doesn't let people that have things enjoy things because they're always trying to defend why they have it. Lord, we break that in Jesus' name. We break the spirit of pride on people that have need. That when they're going to be blessed by you, at the hands of someone else, that they would learn to be grateful and say, thank you. Thank you that you're helping. Thank you because I asked God and you're an answer to prayer. Thank you. If someone brags on your clothes or your hair, your car, your house, instead of you having a spirit of poverty trying to explain how it's all a deal, that you're just willing to say thank you. Let gratitude become a part of who we are. Let it begin to define us. Gratitude, not stuff. I'm going to ask you with your eyes closed right now. I don't know what the Spirit of God's speaking to you this morning, but maybe we fall in some of these areas. I find myself in some of these very areas, but I want you to hear me. Stuff is just stuff. And if you've got stuff or don't have stuff, it's a test. And the response to pass the test is gratitude to an awesome God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This morning, I break that off of you in the name of Jesus. If you're dealing with the area of poverty or pride, you're dealing with that area of greed, really, then we ask the Father right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to break that off of your life, that you'll never be the same. We're going to be grateful that we're born again. We're going to quit explaining what we had to do to get here. We're here because of grace. You loved on us first, and that's why we're here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I eat right and work out all the time, and I've got my body in perfect shape. Look what I am doing. No. Thank you, Lord, for my health, that I'm able to work out and eat right. Thank you. Lord, we're going to put you back in the equation of our life with a good thank you. I want you to say something. I want you to say it out loud. Say thank you. Say thank you. I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to say thank you. The test of the 40-year trial was in a thank you. Say thank you. Yeah, your clothes may not be right up to date, but you got some clothes. Say thank you. Yeah, you may not have everything everybody else is eating and drinking, and maybe you're not going to have the same kind of meal that they're going to have at Thanksgiving, but we're not going to compare ourselves anymore, the poor to the rich, or the rich among themselves, or the poor among themselves. We refuse to judge a man by his stuff. Say thank you. I'm praying right now that the spirit of gratitude would flow over your life in the name of Jesus. Oh, yeah, I know it's your skills. I know that it's your abilities that you have, but you got those abilities from God, and you got your skill from the one that gives out the skill, and you're blessed because of the blesser. It's not because you're special. It's not because you've worked it all out. Lord, I pray right now that you help me and Sue, that we'd become people that are grateful and thankful, that we would never judge those that don't have. Father, we're getting ready to go over to some apartments, and we're going to look at it, and we may judge these people by what they don't have. We ask you to forgive us right now, that we're not going over there feeling better than them. We're not believing that they're lower than us. We're just thankful today that you've blessed us, Lord, that we can share, and it's your blessing. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hug somebody next to you, and then you can be seated, and we're going to receive an offering. I hope you get a good Thanksgiving thought today, and maybe you can hang on to it. Wow, way over. I want you to get your tithe and offering ready to give, if you would, and we're going to have our ushers to come. Hallelujah. Say, stuff is stuff. Say, stuff is a test. Say, gratitude is a response. Now, I want you to help me on this one. I want you to do something. Say, thank you. How many of y'all will try the next time someone brags about what you got and looks at your stuff? How many of y'all will practice saying thank you? Yeah, thank you. Don't defend God and yourself. Just say thank you. That's what the day of Thanksgiving is about. Listen, it's an attitude. It's not stuff. Father, we love and we thank you this morning for the privilege.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.